Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey, and welcome to a continuation from the book of Genesis. This is the passage in Genesis 19, verses 15 to 29. This is the section where the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah occurs because of the great sin among the people there. The first reading, again, is taken from Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 to 29. I want you to hear, I'll emphasize it when I get to it, but there's a point I want to make here that's not one of the obvious points in this reading. As dawn was breaking, the angels urged Lot on, saying, "On your way, take with you your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of Sodom." So God is trying to get the righteous people out of the way before he destroys it. Remember Abraham's bargaining with the Lord, but they couldn't find 10 righteous people that were in the city, that lived in the city. But he's going to get these people, these ones who are willing to follow the Lord, he's going to save them, get them out of the way. When he hesitated, Lot hesitated, the men, by the Lord's mercy, seized his hand. That's the men were the angels, seized his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them to safety outside the city. So God miraculously intervened and he had the angels grab them and take them out. And as soon as they had been brought outside, he was told, "Flee for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere on the plain. Get off the hills at once, or you will be swept away." "Oh, no, my lord," Lot replied. "You've already thought enough of your servant to do me the great kindness of intervening to save my life, but I cannot flee to the hills to keep the disaster from overtaking me, and so I guess I'll die. Look, this town ahead is near enough to escape to. It's only a small place. Let me flee there. It's a small place, is it not, that my life may be saved? Like, don't demand of me so much. Please, just let me go to this place." And the angel says, "Well then, I will also grant you the favor you now ask. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but hurry, escape there. I cannot do anything until you arrive there. This is why the town is called Zoar." Do you see the bargaining still going on? Isn't it? It's in us, isn't it? Well, would you do it if I do this? Would you do that if I don't do this? It's just in us. We have such a hard time obeying the word of the Lord. It's just, it's too much. It's too drastic. And yet God is trying to save our lives. And even there, even when Lot starts bargaining again, even there the Lord is merciful. And Lot points out a little place that's not too far away. "Can I just go there?" And God, through his angels, agrees. The sun was just rising over the earth as Lot arrived in Zoar. At the same time, the Lord rained down sulfurous fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and the whole plain, together with the inhabitants of the cities and the produce of the soil. But Lot's wife looked back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. What did the Lord tell them? What did the Lord tell them? He said to them, "Do not look back or stop anywhere on the plain." That was the messengers of the Lord. Do not look back or stop anywhere on the plain. And in all the confusion, etc., Lot's wife was just too curious, and she turned around and looked back. She decided not to obey. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been so severely punished. What harm can happen if I just turn around and look? I'm not going to go back. I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here. Isn't that enough? The Lord has his reasons, and we need to obey, or we experience the punishment that comes. Early the next morning, Abraham went to the place where he had stood in the Lord's presence. As he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and the whole region of the plain, he saw dense smoke over the land rising like fumes from a furnace. Utter destruction. Thus it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he was mindful of Abraham by sending Lot away from the upheaval by which God overthrew the cities where Lot had been living. So again, the Lord was kind to Abraham because Abraham is trying to obey, and so he spares the life of members of his extended family. God honors his covenant with us. Are you holding up your end of the bargain? Are you obeying his commandments? Are you seeking to follow him to do his will, his way? Or not? You can't drift into heaven, brothers and sisters. You will not drift into heaven. Well, I'm a good person. You will not drift into heaven if you don't keep up your part of the covenant, which is to obey his commandments, to follow his way of life, to be faithful to him until the end, to build his kingdom as much as you can here on earth. That's God's call. We can think up all kinds of excuses, but brothers and sisters, as I've said the last few days, it really does come down to our motivation. I could change a baby's diaper and it could contribute to the good of the whole family if I do it out of love for God, if I serve. Lord, may all my thoughts, my words, my actions this day be for your honor and glory. I'm caring for those who cannot care for themselves. If I'm frustrated and angry and I hate this and I hate changing diapers, and we all have moments like that, but what's your prevailing attitude? What's your motivation? I come home and the faucet's fallen off the kitchen sink, and I've had a very long day and a very hard day, and my wife needs me to fix the faucet. Do I do it? Do I blow up in anger? Am I frustrated? Do I start saying to her, if you just didn't do this, that wouldn't have happened? Or do I say, Lord, this is what you ask of me in this moment, and I will do it? It's those little things, brothers and sisters, moment by moment. It's those little things that make us holy. It's those little things that draw us into God's, deeper into God's presence, so that when he desires to use us for the salvation of others, we're ready because we're attentive, we're open, we're seeking to serve. And when we fail our wives or we fail our husbands, do we repent? Not making excuses. I'm very sorry I blew up. I shouldn't have done you that to you. You're not the one that's caused me. It was just a very difficult day at work, but I'm sorry I took it out on you. You do that, you're following the Lord. He will draw you close to himself. That act of humility does more to build your marriage than almost anything. So don't despise the little things, the hidden motivations. Don't despise the little things. They build you into a righteous person, willing to do God's will, God's way. That's what it means to be righteous. Are you doing that? And if you're not, you can begin right now. It takes a training. You might remember once a day. You might remember once a week, even after you've made decisions. But if you keep at it, eventually it becomes a habit. It becomes a pattern. And it draws you closer to the Lord. You can be used by the Lord just by little daily decisions to put him first. The responsorial psalm, O Lord, your mercy is before my eyes. There are many things in my life, and I'm sure there are in yours, that you can see the hand of God's mercy. If you can't, you aren't looking very close. Because God is always merciful toward us, even when we failed him in a major way. He loves us. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. As Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly a violent storm came up on the sea so that the boat was being swamped by waves. But he was asleep. Don't you often feel like the Lord's asleep when you get yourself into a very difficult situation and you say, "Where is God?" I've been out on that Sea of Galilee. It's deep, 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 and I can't swim. So I was holding on. Even though it was a very large boat, I was holding on. And here are these disciples. They don't have a big boat. They have a boat they have to row. They don't have any motors. And a violent storm the Sea of Galilee, the storms come up very suddenly just by its position, where it is in relation to the land, etc. Storms can come up very, very suddenly. And this is exactly what happened in Scripture. Suddenly a violent storm came up on the sea. So the boat was being swamped by the waves. I mean, water's pouring into the boat. But he's asleep. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes in our lives? And they came and they woke him, saying, "Lord, save us! We're perishing!" And he said to them, "Why are you terrified, oh, you of little faith?" I mean, they must have been so perplexed and bewildered. This is a violent storm. And if they're calling it a violent storm, those who were on the water a lot, it was violent. Wind and waves, the boat is in danger of being capsized, the boat is in danger of going down by the water that's pouring in on it, and they say, "Lord, save us!" And he says, "Why are you terrified, O you of little faith? I'm in charge of the wind and the seas. I'm in charge of your lives. I'm in charge of the waves that crash over you in your circumstances. I'm aware. Call upon me. Believe in me. Trust in me. Why are you terrified, O you of little faith? Trust me. I will see you through the storm. I will help you. I will rescue you, but put your trust in me." And then he got up, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. And the men were amazed, and they said, "What sort of man is this, whom even the winds and the sea obey?" Brothers and sisters, whether it be the winds and the sea and the winds and the waves of the various seas and oceans and lakes of our world, or whether it be the winds and the storms of our own personal lives, he is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord over all the storms of whatever kind. Draw near to him. Seek refuge in him. We often seek refuge in all kinds of things, which is why addictions are so bad in our country. We keep seeking refuge, but the only real refuge, brothers and sisters, is in Jesus Christ. It is the one refuge that will not fail you. Trust him. Say, "Lord, surround me. Lord, hold me. Lord, protect me from the waves. Lord, help me. Help me through this storm. Calm the sea." And God will help you because he loves you. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.